good to see everybody out tonight. Definitely the biggest crowd I've ever spoken in front of here at Taylor's Crossroads. Thank y'all all for coming out tonight. So I'm going to be talking about musical instruments and the service, and then Caleb's going to be touching on the principles of prayer after I get done. So we're saving the best for last for y'all tonight. So, like many things I try to speak on, the topic of musical instruments came up, and I came up with the guy I work with. We were up in Heflin at the Southwire plant pulling an engine out of forklift on a Wednesday. I asked him what time he needed to leave because I knew he went to church. He said, I don't remember what time he told me, but got out of there at a decent hour. But he asked me where I go to church at, and I said, Church of Christ. He kind of looks at me. He goes, y'all are the folks that don't use musical instruments. I said, yes, sir. He goes, well, why is that? And the best thing I could come up with at the time was, well, it just kind of can disrupt the service. So this lesson was more for me at the time I wrote it, because I didn't have as good of an answer at that time as I felt that I should have. So it's more for me, and it's so this is just a shortened up and a revisited lesson that I gave, I don't know, 2-3 months ago now. And then to continue this story, me and this same guy was in Sylacauga doing a brake job. We finished it up. I went looking around for him, couldn't find him anywhere. Well, he was down there talking to one of the customers about church and this and that and the other, which is good for him. We should all try to do that. But they got to talking about musical instruments in the worship service, and he said that it was either somebody's mom or grandmother had gotten upset with the leaders of the church because it was either her son or grandson couldn't play the guitar because they already had a guitar player. I was thinking to myself at that point in time, that's a good example of one reason not to have musical instruments, because you've just made an issue out of something that shouldn't have been an issue to start with. So we're going to start with the Old Testament, look at some examples from there, and then move to the New Testament. So Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and the harp, praise Him with the tremble and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. So we see from this passage in Psalms that there were several different kinds of musical instruments used to praise the Lord. Then in Psalms 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. So that's another example of a musical instrument being used to praise the Lord. And it took me longer to copy and paste these on this document I wrote my lesson out on than it did to find them. And there's more examples than just these two, but all these two examples and all the other examples of musical instruments being used to praise the Lord are from the Old Testament. Which we'll get to more of this later, but as Ben mentioned Sunday night, even though the New Testament doesn't specifically tell you not to do something, which we'll get into that, it doesn't mean you can do that. And there are other things from the Old Testament, such as the meat offering, which served the purpose of a way of sins being forgiven, that we no longer are required to do today because it's from the Old Testament. So Hebrews 8, 5-13, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see he saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now he hath attained a more excellent ministry, But how much also is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises? For if that first covenant, which had been faultless, then should have no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I make with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they counted not my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with thee, with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant he hath made from the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So, all that is saying that God is going to establish and has established a new covenant between him and his people. And like anything, when something new comes along, what is old gets pushed to the way, as the new should be an improvement over the old. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that though we pay... For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and consultation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. So, we see here that we're instructed to learn from the Old Testament, but we're not bound by the laws found in the Old Testament. The New Testament is what we're guided by today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So, this is an example from the New Testament, and we see no mention of the use of musical instruments here being used to praise the Lord. He more or less is just telling us to sing and focus on what we're saying and the story the song is trying to tell us. We need to be focusing on that more so than anything else. Which I'm not the most musically minded person, but to me, it would be harder to focus on the words you're singing and the message you're trying to convey singing these songs of praise if you had a guitar or something like that, and let alone if somebody was to mess up when they were playing one of these instruments. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, again, we see that we're instructed to sing, and there is no mention of the use of musical instruments while we're singing and praising the Lord. And many of the commentaries I looked at also mentioned how disruptive an instrument can be. If you miss a note, it just kind of throws the whole thing off, and everybody gets distracted. And the whole purpose of singing and trying to praise the Lord with a song just gets thrown off. And I did do some looking online, and it seems pretty well acknowledged that there is really no New Testament support or no scripture from the New Testament to support the use of musical instruments during the church service. And another thing about musical instruments and then choirs and solos, they all of these things hinder all of the members of the congregation from actively praising the Lord. Because you're really focusing on one person or a group of persons during that time. And it's just what started out as somebody years ago saying, well, we'll just add a piano. Okay. Well, then it's one of those things like the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. You start with one thing, well, then it turns into something else. Well, then you have this other thing, well, then we need this to go along with it. And then before long, you've got a whole band set up on stage. Let's see. Most of the support, using air quotes here, for using instruments in the service, from what I could find in the scriptures or that folks try to use to justify this, it really comes from the gray area in the New Testament where it's not explicitly banned to use musical instruments. And then there's also people that try to use Old Testament passages, which there are examples, like I started out with, where instruments were used to praise the Lord, but it was in the times of the Old Testament. So they just kind of pick and choose what they want out of the Old Testament, and they say, well, there's an example of musical instruments, so that's what we can do. But then they leave out things such as a meat offering and many other things that they were, that people under the Old Testament were bound by under it. If you keep one part of the law, you need to keep the whole thing. Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why has thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shalt rule over him. So, I know this is kind of coming out of left field for talking about musical instruments in the service, but what this shows is that God can and will reject offerings and worship if they don't please Him. We need to be very mindful of how we praise the Lord. We've been told what we need to do, and that's what we need to follow. Now, this is one interesting thing I just wanted to add in here. The first recorded use of an instrument in a church service was in the Catholic Church and was around the year of 666 and was instituted by Pope Vitalian. And I thought it was interesting how it comes back to the year 666 for that. Then we're going to look at some examples of singing in the New Testament. Acts 16, verses 25 to 28. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. So, now this wasn't a church service, but we see that Paul and Silas were worshiping and singing, and the Lord opened all the doors of the prison they were in. So there's a lot of power in singing and praising the Lord. Ephesians 5, 19 through 21. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So, we see here, instruction here to sing praises to the Lord regularly, not just during the worship service. We got a question for everybody. if we were to always try to praise the Lord and think on positive things and be thankful all the time, how would it affect us? I know if I could do more of this than what I do, I feel like I would be a more positive person. I feel like there would be a lot of positive things that each and every one of us would pick up if we would try to be thankful and positive and praise the Lord all the time. Let's see. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, we need to stick to what we know is right and follow the examples outlined in the Bible and make sure that we're not influenced by the world, because there's a lot of folks that do use musical instruments in the service and many other things. And I'm sure they had good intentions behind it originally, but it's really gotten to something a lot more than it ever should have been, because they never should have started doing it in the first place. We need to do our best to stay positive and set a good example for those around us. And then a verse Ben used Sunday night, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, what seems right to people of this world, it's not good. We just need to be mindful of this, and that we don't give in to not just musical instruments, but there's many, many different things and many different things that are done in the church service that we don't go by or agree with, that there's really no biblical support for. And let's see, as I'm wrapping it up here, there is no support in the New Testament for the use of musical instruments in the church service, and instruments more often than not can cause division because they separate people, they separate groups, and can easily distract from the actual purpose of the service and the singing, which is to praise the Lord. So, that's going to be my thoughts for tonight. Thank y'all for listening to me.